Celebrating 30 years on Utah's airwaves, Western Life Radio thanks you for joining us around the campfire and for your ongoing support to Utah's longest-running home, garden, travel, and outdoor adventure program. You can always join us on our online campsite at westernliferadio.com.
Is your boat registered and insured for the summer season? Most boats must have proof of insurance on board and be properly registered with bow numbers and stickers. Take the Utah Boating or Coast Guard Auxiliary courses and you just might get a discount on your insurance. For a copy, call 801-538-BOAT. This message brought to you by the Utah State Parks Boating Program.
Discover the magic within Utah State Parks with an annual State Parks Pass. From boating and fishing to hiking, camping, and off-highway vehicle adventures, Utah State Parks offers a wide variety of activities in the great outdoors. An annual State Park Pass opens the gate to year-round adventures at an amazing price. The annual State Park Pass provides day-use access for you and your family for 12 months from date of purchase. In addition, Utah State Parks opens the gate to cultural and historical parks where you can learn more about Utah's rich heritage. And don't forget to reserve your favorite campsites year-round with options in teepees, yurts, and hammocks in addition to the standard tent and RV options. Visit the trailhead for more information at stateparks.utah.gov.
Faster Utah empowers teachers, administrators, and other school staff to defend themselves in case of a school shooting. We teach advanced firearms and trauma first aid skills. Graduates of the Faster program pass the same post-qualification shoot as Utah law enforcement. For more information and find out how you can help, go to fasterutah.org.
Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE.
Put on your helmet. Let's go.
But, Mom, when will I be old enough so I don't have to wear my helmet? When will I become invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my helmet, too. Anyone can get hurt, no matter how old they are.
Be responsible and set an example when you ride. Accidents do happen. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
There's nothing quite like the great outdoors, and at Sportsman's Warehouse, we share your passion for hunting, fishing, and camping. If you want to feel at one with nature, this is the place to gear up. So whether you're ice fishing, predator hunting, snowshoeing, or winter camping, Sportsman's Warehouse has a terrific selection of all the latest equipment for your outdoor adventure. So when it's cold outside, that's the time to come and see what's hot inside at Sportsman's Warehouse. Sportsman's Warehouse. Take it outside.
Kindness. It's a single smile, a thoughtful word, a small, unexpected gesture. Whatever the act may be, it's something we call kindness. Yet sometimes in such a chaotic world, people forget the power that kindness holds. Kindness can brighten a moment, lift someone's spirits, turn a bad day into a good story. Kindness can make someone's week, or month, or year. Kindness can restore faith in humanity, and some say it can even make us healthier. All with a simple, small, perhaps unseen or anonymous act. So, think about this. What would happen if a small act of kindness sparked another small act of kindness, and then another, and another, and another? What if kindness became contagious, and all the small gestures done by many would make an impact felt around the nation, around the world? Imagine that power. And all it takes is one kind act a day.
Richter joins us once again with Richter's Herbs. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes with us.
Oh, I always love to be with you. I'm happy to talk about anything to do with herbs and more.
We are so excited to have you with us. It is a thrill visiting with you and talking about chamomile this year.
Yes, chamomile. So many people know chamomile. They've tried the tea, and many people report positive results. It helps to calm the nerves, calm the digestive system. It's a classic tea to have after a meal. When the body's trying to digest whatever it is that we've eaten, that can be a little bit unsettling to the body. And having a soothing cup of chamomile tea at the end of the day after a meal helps settle things down and helps you get ready for sleep.
You're not kidding. I remember many times early on in my years that was a great tea, either that or a peppermint tea or something to help get me to sleep when I was little even.
Yes. And it's because, among many other properties, it has really potent anti-inflammatory compounds that can help settle down. Now, you would think when you have an upset stomach, well, there's actually a little bit of inflammation happening there. And so a tea like chamomile that helps soothe that inflammation and helps bring you back to your normal self, it gets you on the right path towards reducing anxiety and reducing nervousness and getting you ready for sleep.
As far as herbal teas are concerned, on the shelves and when you go to the grocery stores, that's one of the top three or four out there that I see every day.
Indeed, and of course, it's popular in many parts of the world. It is certainly one of the most grown and most used herbs in commercial teas worldwide. But you could say its center of origin is mostly around the Mediterranean. You will see various types of chamomile, different species, both on the northern shores of the Mediterranean and on the southern shores in Africa and around the Middle East. So it's a classic medicine and tea herb from the Mediterranean area where so many other of our most popular herbs come from. And yet, rather than it being used for culinary purposes, it's used mainly for medicinal purposes.
Although it comes from the Mediterranean and some of these other very exotic places of the world, they are very adaptable. They grow all over the place when allowed to.
Well, you can find them in the mountains and in places like Austria and Eastern Europe. You can find them in the lower grounds, lower areas, and places like in Morocco. The different species and different variants of different species are quite adaptable, as you suggest. They come in perennial forms, and they come in annual forms, so the annuals reseed themselves quite readily. And in fact, under the right conditions, an annual can actually seem like a perennial. It just every year keeps reseeding itself, and every year you get a nice patch of Camelmar coming up. And there are many forms. There are forms that can be grown as a replacement for lawns and will come back every year as a perennial. So, for example, we have a variety related to what we call Roman Camelmar that doesn't flower and just produces wonderful leaves in a carpet form and will create a really nice lawn. It's great to have along the sides, along the edges of a path, or even areas of lawn you could grow it. It is a little less hardy than grass, so you have to water it more, and it's a little less hardy if the temperature gets really cold during winter. So it's a little bit more of a lawn subject for a more southerly location. But Camelmar comes in so many different ways, so many different forms, that there's a Camelmar practically for any location.
They're so showy and so happy looking. I mean, when you see them in the garden or when you see them growing wherever they are, they just pop. They just really brighten your day.
Yeah, and I think most people have a notion of what it looks like. But for those who might not be able to picture it in their mind, chamomile typically has a ring of white petals about anywhere from an inch in diameter. The whole flower is about an inch in diameter, and sometimes even getting up to as much as 2 inches in diameter. And then in the center, you typically see a yellowish disc. So together, in the dried or fresh form, the overall scent that you get is kind of like an apple scent, and it's a sweet apple scent. And in fact, the Greeks used to call it chamomelon, which means ground apple. So it's a low-growing plant that when you step on it, releases this sweet apple-like scent, and which led to this name, chamomile. So it's a fun plant, definitely. It's been in recorded history well more than 2,000 years of history in the Mediterranean, and could very well go back, well back into Egyptian history, and then even into the Neolithic era of 8 to 10,000 years ago.
I had no idea. I didn't even notice the apple smell. I didn't pick up on that. I'm going to have to make sure I pay more attention this year to that.
Well, there's also a very close relative. It's actually in the same botanical genus as Roman chamomile called the pineapple weed. And it sounds obviously weedy, but it is a weed and can establish itself without any help from humans. But it has a pineapple scent, which is really impressive. And then we're starting to see people utilizing it in cooking and certainly for tea. It's a great herb. I think it's an underappreciated plant that will eventually, I think, more and more people will start to grow it.
And again, it has similar properties as the other ones, healing-wise, as far as restfulness and calmness?
Yes, exactly. Yes.
I had no idea there was more than just German and Roman chamomile. I remember a double one a couple years ago, but that's about all I knew, and it looks like you have over a dozen of them this year.
That's right. You mentioned Roman and German. Those are the two major categories of chamomile. So let's go into it just a little bit here. The German chamomile is most often the one that you're drinking when you get chamomile tea. And it is the annual. So you would typically buy seeds seeded in your garden, and it will come up. And if you're lucky, it'll reseed itself from year to year. So that's the German chamomile. And it is the most popular one commercially because it is so easy to grow commercially. There are literally thousands of acres under production, particularly in the Mediterranean area. Egypt is one of the major producers of chamomile in the world. So that's the German annual type. And it will grow typically up to about 12 inches in height. It'll be covered in these small flowers and very showy. Now, you mentioned the Roman chamomile. Well, that is a perennial chamomile, and it is the one that's favored. Typically see it in old English herbals, and you'll certainly see it in English herb gardens. So it also has daisy flowers with the white petals. Not as many flowers, though. A little bit more work to pick the flowers in order to make a cup of tea. And that's part of the reason why it is not as commonly used for commercial chamomile tea. The Roman chamomile is the one that has more variation in its growth habits. So you mentioned a double type. So there is a double Roman chamomile. So the flowers don't look like a daisy so much. They look like a little ball. Really quite cute, actually. And they're just as useful for making tea. You can use those little balls and cut them and dry them and make tea from them. And they have the same properties.
It almost looks like a marigold to me. They're very cute little things. Like I said, I've seen them before, but it's been a while.
Yeah, but unlike marigolds, they're white flowers rather than, say, an orange or a yellow flower. And they tend to be about maybe half an inch to 3/4 of an inch in diameter. But yes, they're really quite neat to grow.
Now, you were touching upon a little bit on harvest. When they harvest them on such a large scale, do they grow pretty close enough so they just chop off the tops of the heads? Do they hand pick them? Or how are they typically harvested on a commercial scale?
You can imagine through the many thousands of years they would be handpicked, so be helpful, some extra help to go out into the garden and picking these little flowers. But no, nowadays commercial growers have specialized equipment that will go and they have these little tongs that catch the flowers and then they kind of rip the flowers off the foliage. Then they're dried in the shade. But what some people do is they will make their own home little device with similar tongs. Let's say you could take a dustpan and you somehow attach wire tongs to it close enough. You can use that to gather up many flowers quickly.
That sounds so clever. That makes sense. Personally, we haven't had enough to worry about other than picking a few by hand, and I can see how something like that would be very helpful on a larger scale.
Even in places where Egypt, the labor doesn't cost anything like it does here in North America, they still use that kind of equipment. And part of the advantage there, too, is that you're harvesting it much quicker and you're preserving the essential oils that give it all its flavor and its health benefits. If you're taking a long time to harvest flowers, then over time the sun will degrade the flowers before you can get them into the drying place.
That's a good point there. When is the best time to pick these things? Is it early as they're just starting to bloom? It sounds like early in the day is best too.
Well, yes, there's two parts to that. Yes, you want to catch them as soon as the petals have opened up, but before the seeds start forming. That, I think, is the optimal time to collect the flowers. You get the highest essential oils and the flavor and, of course, the health benefits. As far as the time of day goes, the general rule for collecting herbs for drying purposes is after any dew that may be on the leaves has dried off, and the sun has shone on the plants long enough to dry off the dew, but before the day gets too hot. And the reason for that is, well, of course, you want to get the dew off because you don't want mold to develop while you're drying. So you want the water off. But you don't want to leave it too late in the day because as the day wears on and the sun gets more intense, many of those essential oils that give you the flavor and the health benefits are released by the flowers into the air. And then by the time you might collect it late in the day, the product isn't quite as flavorful or as potent.
And got to consider also how we dry those properly, too. You don't want to let them dry in the sun, either. I would guess you'd lose a lot of your essential oils just letting it sit in the sun.
Yes. Many of the herbs that we're familiar with get their fragrance and their flavors from what we call essential oils. Essential oils are natural plant oils present in these plants that are highly volatile. So it doesn't take much for them to turn into a vapor and then get dispersed into the air. And when that happens, then you're left behind with a product that doesn't have quite as much flavor and, of course, health benefits. So it's really important to gear your whole harvesting and drying process to maximize those oils. So you mentioned drying in the sun. Well, if you dry in the sun, you're very likely going to cause many of the essential oils to disperse into the air. So what we do typically with chamomile flowers, but also, let's say, basil leaves or rosemary or mint, we gather them, and as quickly as possible, we'll move them to a shaded area that's well ventilated with lots of air movement and dry them on it can be on a surface or on a screen. A lot of people will make their own little frames with a wire mesh screen on the bottom and place the herbs on that. And that allows the air to move around freely and allows the moisture to disperse, but at the same time, retaining the essential oils.
Excellent advice. I know a lot of people worry about that and wonder about it. I remember a story you told us years ago about how you at one time put them in the oven, if I remember correctly, and made the house smell really good, but it kind of wiped them out as far as their flavor afterwards.
Yeah, that's actually true. I tell that story because it really illustrates how high heat can be a problem. And if you're drying out in the sun, inevitably they're going to warm up, and that high heat is what expels the oils. It turns the oils into vapor, and then the vapor drifts away. So, yes, that story is, you would think, well, okay, I want to dry my leaves, so why not put it in the oven, turn the oven on, and give it a little bit of heat and get rid of the moisture, and then I'll have a nice dry product to use in cooking or in tea. Well, the problem with that, as you alluded, is that the essential oils, the heat was too much, that the essential oils were also volatilized, were dispersed into the air, and of course you smell it all through the house, whatever it is you're drying in the oven, and by the time it's all said and done, the remaining product has almost no flavor left.
I remember that. That stuck with me for years now, and I know how I would think the same way, too, that would be a great idea. Get it done quickly and be done. But again, in the heat of the summer, there's plenty of sun, there's plenty of heat. If you can keep it, like you say, shaded and get some good airflow on it, I think that'll maximize what you need.
Well, commercial growers, large and small, basically use two principles. Is ventilation and air movement. That's critical. So there would be a fan, or at least open air where there's air movement, maybe even a little bit of wind. And then if there's any concern about too much moisture, you would maybe give it a little bit of heat. We have this herb dryer in our premises that we use for small batches of herbs that my dad put together many years ago. And it's just a sort of like a cabinet-like thing that has a heat lamp at the bottom and a fan, and then it has a way to slide in these frames that I mentioned earlier, these wooden frames with a wire mesh at the bottom, and you can slide them in all the way up this cabinet, and the air is moving from the bottom up to the top with a little bit of heat coming from the heat lamp, and it's thermostat controlled. Keep the heat well below 90 degrees Fahrenheit, you know, down to about 80 even. And with that, you get a great product. You get lovely color. If you're drying leaves, for instance, you get a lovely green color. You get the crisp texture. The leaves kind of snap in your hands, and then with all the flavor that is possible. And the larger growers essentially use those same principles. They want air movement. You don't want exposure to light, and you want just a little bit of warmth if there's any concern about too much moisture.
Once you're done drying with it, you basically want to keep it out of the sun again, and you want to be in an airtight package.
That's right, yes. So typically, if you store them in a glass jar, you can, of course, store them in plastic bags. But the key is to make sure that they're perfectly dry. If there's any hint of moisture present, then you're going to end up getting mold developing inside, and then you'll have to throw it out. So as long as it's crisp, dry, if you squeeze the leaves, or in this case, we're speaking about chamomile, you squeeze the flowers and they don't snap or break easily, then you have to ask yourself, are these fully dried at this point? And once dried in a container like a glass jar or a plastic bag, then store that in a relatively cool cupboard where there is no sun or no light shining. The light does slowly cause the color to fade, and that just takes away from the overall enjoyment of the herb. You want nice color. You want great flavor. When herbs are exposed to light, even under cool conditions, cool, dry conditions, they become a little grayer. They become just a little less, I'd say, exciting to me.
A little more subdued color.
That's right. That's right.
All righty then, let's take a quick break. Be back in a few minutes. When we return, we'll continue our discussion with Mr. Conrad Richter with Richter's Herbs. Stick around, more fun is on the way here on Western Life Radio.
Is your boat registered and insured for the summer season? Most boats must have proof of insurance on board and be properly registered with bow numbers and stickers. Take the Utah Boating or Coast Guard Auxiliary courses and you just might get a discount on your insurance. For a copy, call 801-538-BOAT. This message brought to you by the Utah State Parks Boating Program.
Snowmobile clubs and associations are the root of nearly all snowmobile trails. They work with landowners and government agencies, hold fundraisers, clear brush and downed trees, do trail signing, build bridges, and spend the winter grooming trails. Snowmobile clubs also teach young riders to enjoy the sport safely. Join a club where you ride to help support trails, have fun, and share great experiences. Brought to you by the American Council of Snowmobile Associations and the Federal Highway Administration. Visit snowmobileinfo.org.
Keep yourself safe this winter season. Wear layers to protect yourself from winter's cold. Also keep a hat, scarf, and mittens on hand as essential winter gear. Select footwear appropriate for snow and slush, and be sure to keep extra dry clothing in your vehicle in case you get wet. These winter safety tips are brought to you by FEMA, the Region 8 Youth Preparedness Council, this station, and Western Life Radio.
There's nothing quite like the great outdoors, and at Sportsman's Warehouse, we share your passion for hunting, fishing, and camping. If you want to feel at one with nature, this is the place to gear up. So whether you're ice fishing, predator hunting, snowshoeing, or winter camping, Sportsman's Warehouse has a terrific selection of all the latest equipment for your outdoor adventure. So when it's cold outside, that's the time to come and see what's hot inside at Sportsman's Warehouse. Sportsman's Warehouse, take it outside.
Happy Valentine's Day to you and your sweetheart. We're sharing a love note with a little cowboy poetry next on Western Life Radio.
snowmobiling, be prepared. Keep your machine in top condition. Always carry a toolkit, first aid kit, emergency supplies, and spare parts. Always let someone know where you're going and when you'll be back. Use the buddy system and never snowmobile alone. This message is brought to you by Utah State Parks OHV Education.
Celebrate Valentine's Day with a little love note. J.P. Carson features a little cowboy poetry.
You see, there were tumbleweeds, just thousands of them out blowing in the prairie breeze, and it seemed as if every cowboy for miles around was out chasing tumbleweeds. You see, rumor had it that some had been found, and inside was tied a note, written by a woman longing for love, judging by the things she wrote. Well, she'd write about how lonely all her nights had been since her husband passed away and how she longed to love again. How she wished she had somebody just to sit and talk. Or maybe in the moonlight together they could walk. Well, every night she'd write a letter that told how she felt inside and then tie it to a tumbleweed and send it on its ride. Well, she shared her deepest feelings with every letter she wrote. And that's why every cowboy for miles around was out searching for her note. For they knew a thing about lonely, they lived out with the herd, and when one found her letter, well, they'd hang on every word. Now, a cowboy's heart is fragile. It's a very tender thing, and it doesn't take much for him to fall in love and feel old Cupid's sting. Matter of fact, if it paid him any attention, he could probably fall in love with a rock. So, to imagine a woman wanting a man to take a moonlight walk, well, it had their hearts a-reeling. Their cattle was going astray, for they were out chasing tumbleweeds from morning till end of day. Now, they didn't know who wrote the letters, because she never signed her name. But for every cowboy that found one, well, his heart was never the same. Now, you might think it's strange to fall in love with a woman you've never seen, but, well, you never read her letters. If you had, you'd know what I mean, because, well, it had all the cowboys a-changing, and new clothes were they a-sporting. Shoot, they even bathed and combed their hair, because, well, they were going a-courting. Now every widow in the county, in fact, the entire state, was receiving cowboy callers and getting asked out on a date. Yeah, love's a funny thing when someone plants a seed, and, well, now it's done over the internet. Back then, by tumbleweed.
Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.
Choose your adventure. With 46 state parks and an impressive list of recreational opportunities.
Yes, bass fishing at Sand Hall State Park.
Visitors might have a hard time choosing what to do each weekend.
Woo! Windsurfing at Deer Creek State Park.
Choose your adventure. Explore Utah and create memories at Utah State Parks. For campground reservations, ideas for your next adventure, or to purchase an annual pass, stop by stateparks.utah.gov.
Hey, let's hit the lake. Put on your life jackets and let's go.
But Mom, when will I be old enough so I won't drown and I don't have to wear my life jacket? When will I be invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my life jacket too. Anyone can drown, no matter how old they are.
Accidents do happen. Protect yourself and set an example. Wear the proper safety gear when you're on the water. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
Back to Western Life Radio with your host, Brian Brinkerhoff.
Welcome back to Western Life Radio. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff, host this program. We have Mr. Conrad Richter with us with Richter's Herbs. And speaking of other benefits of chamomile, there are a lot of other ways you can really use this plant.
Well, chamomile in particular is known as a powerful herb for supporting skin health of all sorts. People make creams and salves. Even just adding it to your bath water can be dried flowers into your bath water, or even fresh flowers into your bath water can help improve skin appearance and help deal with things like eczema and other skin conditions.
That sounds really good. It's good information here. Does it do anything as far as healing anything? If you get cuts or bruises or anything, does it help anything in that direction for skin?
Yes, it can. Those same salves and creams can be used for those. But if I were to choose a flower for, let's say, healing in particular, I would choose calendula, another daisy-like annual plant that many people are familiar with. That one there is well known for its ability to improve skin health and speed healing. But chamomile definitely has potent effects on the skin as well. And you do find commercial creams in the health food stores and elsewhere that are based on chamomile.
Again, you have at least a dozen different varieties available. The double one looks really cool, like we just mentioned, but man, you've got some really cool ones. Some not even the normal daisy-looking colors.
Oh, yes. You can get chamomiles that have orange petals. You can get chamomiles that don't have petals at all. They just have the center cone or disc. There's some that are used for dyeing. You can actually extract the color, an orange or a yellow color, from several chamomiles and color fabric with it, wool and cotton. There is actually one that's called dyer's chamomile for that reason. But it is quite a range of forms and uses, as you alluded to, and I think it's really exciting for people to look into. There's such a range of additional properties. One variety that I'm particularly excited about is what we call Moroccan chamomile. It's actually not that easy to find. I think we're probably one of the few to have it this year. It produces masses of fragrant gold-yellow flowers throughout the summer, not just for 1 or 2 weeks or let's say a month, but throughout much of the summer. And the interesting thing about it, and I've never seen this in other plants, is that the flower will emerge from a branch, and then a wheel of sprouts will come off the side of the flower and produce its own flower. And so you get this kind of spoke-like behavior. It's really quite interesting. And then the leaves are feathery. The overall effect is extremely attractive. Easy to grow from seeds, and it too is used for medicinal use. You can make a tea. It's highly aromatic. It's good for digestive disorders, liver disorders, and also chamomiles like this one here, Moroccan chamomile, but also others are also traditionally used for diabetes as well.
It sure does pop. It has almost like a poppy almost, those bright colored poppies.
Yeah, if you look at it, if you didn't know that it was a chamomile, you wouldn't think it is a chamomile. But in fact, it's closely related to the chamomiles.
St. John's is another one that looks really cool, too.
Yes, that one there is interesting because it is actually an endangered plant. It's only found in very small areas of the mountains of Bulgaria. But it is so attractive and so high ornamental value that you could say it was kind of rescued by the commercial seed growing industry, where they're now producing seeds in cultivated fields and producing lots of plants and seeds so that we can all enjoy this plant in the garden. But it wasn't too long ago when this was actually a threatened plant that looked like it could have gone extinct.
I'm glad that you were able to help rescue him and come up with a sustainable way of providing these seeds to folks around the world.
Yeah, well, the interest in medicinal plants in particular, but also the culinary herbs around the world, the explosion of interest over the last, I would say, 3, 4, 5 decades has also had some unsavory effects, which is over-exploitation and over-harvesting from the wild. So for those of us in the herb industry, we're very concerned about over-harvesting from our wild stock. So anytime that we can figure out a way to grow a plant that is threatened, that gets us excited. It's the kind of thing we aim to do wherever possible. And so I love the story of this St. John's chamomile that we just talked about, because it's a perfect example of what can be done when you know what the problem is, you know that the plant is threatened, and yet you can figure out a way to increase it without endangering it any further.
I am smiling from ear to ear that you're doing that. That makes such a difference. This is actually a very beautiful one and also used in dyeing too, I understand.
That's right, yes. That and the one that I mentioned earlier, the dyer's chamomile, which is also known as golden marguerite, those two are very closely related. But again, within the outer circle of chamomile types of plants, but those two are very similar. One is more of a golden color or yellow color, and the other one is more of an orange color.
What a legacy you're leaving for the folks around the world. I mean, this is incredible. This is incredible. I have so much respect for you and your family for doing this. I can tell there's a passion, there's an excitement in your family, and you got a great team there putting all this together. You package the live plants beautifully when you send those out. Seeds come very quickly. You do an amazing job. You take great pride and care in every order.
Well, thank you. Well, of course, it's not just me or my family. We have a great, great team of employees, the dedicated employees who have been with us for many, many years. And we're very proud of the work that they all put into this. So it's a way of life for us up here. We just love what we do. I can't think of anything else that we'd want to do.
Where do folks find your website? How do they get to you? How do they place an order?
Well, go to richters.com. That's richters.com. Or you can download the catalog. You can also order a paper catalog, although that'll take a little longer. And then, of course, you can peruse the online catalog and all the more than 1,000 different types of plants that we offer. There is a place to order a catalog, and we'll mail it out to you.
Fantastic. Anything else you want to share with folks out there?
Well, this is the time to be thinking about gardening. And, of course, this is the time to be looking through the catalog and figuring out what to try, what new things to try in your garden. The thing that any dedicated gardener will do is always be on the lookout for something new that you've never grown in your garden before. Not every one of those things that you try is going to be a success. That's true. Not every plant is at home in every place in North America. But it's always worth to try something new in your garden, something for fun, something that may become a mainstay in your garden for years to come. And we have many, many unusual varieties that are worth trying.
Again, your website, how do people find you?
Go to richters.com. That's richters.com.
Mr. Conrad Richter joining us once again with Richter's Herbs. Thank you again for taking a few minutes with us today.
Oh, it was a great pleasure. Thank you.
Nothing quite like the great outdoors, and at Sportsman's Warehouse, we share your passion for hunting, fishing, and camping. If you want to feel at one with nature, this is the place to gear up. So whether you're ice fishing, predator hunting, snowshoeing, or winter camping, Sportsman's Warehouse has a terrific selection of all the latest equipment for your outdoor adventure. So when it's cold outside, that's the time to come and see what's hot inside. At Sportsman's Warehouse, take it outside.
Hey, this is James Ray with Be Ready Utah. I am the Be Ready Business Program Lead for the state of Utah. And today I'm going to talk about what is Be Ready Business and what can we offer for you. Be Ready Business does a lot of things with business continuity planning and private sector preparedness. Lots of information to help you out. There are a couple of reality checks. when it comes to private sector preparedness. First of all, it's time-consuming for small businesses who don't necessarily have manpower or knowledge to dedicate to it. Most businesses are just trying to keep their business afloat. The second thing with preparedness for the private sector is it's not necessarily natural to spend time on something that you hope never happens and money on something you hope that you never need. These realities are some of the root causes for why so many businesses have not addressed their private sector preparedness. But we also just can't keep this other reality away. Disasters happen. And if it catches my business unprepared, my business can sink. Everybody could lose their job, and everything I worked so hard for could be no more. So for a new perspective, business preparedness could be one of the more important things that you could do for your business. So Be Ready Business provides a lot of preparedness information that is private sector central. There's a lot of information on the website, BeReadyUtah.gov. We also have an email platform where people can sign up to receive emails for private sector related information. Got a lot of social media accounts that are available. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Just follow hashtag BeReadyBusiness on BeReadyUtah social media platforms, and you can see what's being talked about for private sector preparedness. In addition to that, we've got a lot of videos on YouTube that could be utilized to air in your workplace. Send them to your coworkers and say, hey, here's a preparedness principle or idea for you. We've also got a ton of information on Pinterest. And then our Be Ready Business calendar that you can also find on our website is free and available with lots of different events that are going on throughout National Preparedness Month and throughout the year. Be Ready Business provides business continuity planning, training. We've got tools, templates, and we also provide consultation. So if there are private sectors anywhere out there that would like to build a business continuity plan, please let Be Ready Utah know. We're also trying to connect you to your local emergency managers and local private sector preparedness councils. And there's a lot of subject matter experts out there that can be connected to help you out with your questions. There's a lot of training opportunities. Private sector is oftentimes very interested in active shooter preparedness, cybersecurity, a lot of different topics and training opportunities that are out there. And if you are part of what's called the critical infrastructure, then there's security assessments that can be provided to you. One of our partner programs in our office is the Utah Public-Private Partnership, and they do security assessments for cyber as well as site and even supply chain-based assessments. And then one additional great tool that Be Ready Business provides to you is a recognition platform. We want to recognize you as a prepared business. And if you go onto our website, BeReadyUtah.gov, there's a place on there you can go through to go down the check marks and see, hey, what can we do to fulfill the requirements to become a ready business? And then you can receive some recognition for that. With that, Be Ready Business. This has been James Ray with Be Ready Utah, and thank you.
Gun-free school zones make for soft targets for those who would do school violence. Utah schools are not soft targets, thanks to the education provided by FasterUtah.org.
Happy Valentine's Day to you and your sweetheart. Creek and the Marshal are showcasing a little cowboy crooning next on Western Live Radio.
Speaking of going courting, didn't you write a Valentine to your wife a few years ago, Marshall, and then turn it into a song or something like that?
Well, you know what? As a matter of fact, I did. It started out as a Valentine. It's called Won't You Be My Cowgirl, because she's from the East. I had to kind of explain these Western ways to her.
Yeah, well, it must have worked.
Well, it goes like this. Here we go.
came to say that yes, you'll be my cowgirl and we'll live.
Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.
Let's talk about city lighting and light pollution. Light pollution happens when an area is so saturated with light that it completely overwhelms the night sky. The night sky is a thing of value, both in its beauty and as a reminder of our place in the universe. To lose it is a sad thing indeed. Now, nobody likes stumbling around in the dark, but there are certainly ways to use light more efficiently. Turn off your lights when you don't need them. Consider using timers or motion detectors. Shop for shielded lights or add shielding to existing ones. In the meantime, consider planning your trips to make dark sky astrotourism a part of your adventures. Utah has the highest concentration of certified dark sky places in the world. Our outdoor parks and monuments are wonderful places to see the stars at their best. If people will cross continents just to get a glimpse of the Grand Canyon, isn't the Milky Way worth it as well? And if we can successfully reduce our light pollution, we won't need to drive for hours just for a glimpse of the Milky Way. All we'll need to do is go sit out in the backyard. And that's a dream worth working towards.
Play safe, play sober. BUI is boating under the influence. It is illegal to operate a motorboat while under the influence of alcohol. And in Utah, BUI penalties are the same as DUI. It will cost you money and may cost you your life. Play safe, play sober. Visit stateparks.utah.gov. This message brought to you by Utah State Parks Boating Program.
You've been listening to Western Life Radio, a 30-year outdoor and Western lifestyle tradition. Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.